I always say, I'm just going to be real, but I realized something. That's all I know how to do. So this message is coming from a very real place inside me. I will let you in on this, that the Lord encouraged me yesterday afternoon, last night. He said, you're not, you don't have to try to teach, because I put a teacher in the house. And there's nothing wrong with teaching. Now, there's been times that I've ministered that the Lord would have me to do more teaching. He said, but I believe my assignment today is more exhortation. It's more exhortation. I only said that for you, because the Lord already settled me. But in case you're waiting for the teaching, don't get too distracted, because there's diversities of gifts. And the Lord knows what we need at any given time. And I believe that he's ordered something for all of us today, including me. In fact, I have been first partaker. And I'm so honored to share with you what I believe the Lord has given me. But I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. When I got saved back in 83, I knew him as the Holy Ghost. It's only been in the last few years that I've gotten more comfortable with the vernacular Holy Spirit, even though they're both written in the Word of God. But for me, this is just me. Holy Spirit felt like there was a little more liberty. Holy Ghost felt like you better get it straight, because ain't no slack in this thing. Okay? And the requirement, but it's the same. It's the same. So I want to talk about him some today. He's the most misunderstood component of the triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Even people that love the Lord and are Christians, you know, we tend to do well with the Father. We understand the Father and the Father's love. We can embrace the idea and the component of the Son. You know, we're about to celebrate Resurrection Sunday in a couple of weeks, and we understand Jesus and the cross. But even Christians seem to get really confused sometimes about the Holy Spirit. And I want to just encourage you in a couple of things today. Is that okay? Amen. In the book of John, I believe it's chapter 7. I didn't write it down, but it's starting with verse 37. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, in this passage of scripture, he really sets the stage for a lot of things if we pay attention to the details. He said, if you're thirsty, that's the prerequisite for experiencing something in God that was different from salvation. He said, if you're thirsty, as the scripture says, just what Jesus gave an invitation, if you're thirsty, he said, let them come to me. We have to come to the Lord. There's no other way. Jesus made it very plain. First of all, you need to be thirsty. And that's a term that we have come very familiar with in this culture we live in. You know, the young people will talk about that all the time, say, she's thirsty. Well, he's thirsty. But we understand the concept is just wanting. It's a deep want. And if you're thirsty, Jesus said, let them come. There's a welcoming invitation. Let them come to me. And don't just come, but come in. Is it up there? I want y'all to read. Don't just let them come and let them come to me and. Oh, yeah. So when I do like this, that means you're supposed to say the next word. Let them come to me and. Very good. Very good. Let them come to me and drink. Don't just come, but come and drink. You know, Don't be like those that would, you know, there are some people, there's nothing wrong with it, but some people love to go to the beach, but they never get in the water. They love to go and they would just lay around in the sun. But Jesus said, listen, don't come to me and just lay around and look good by association, but come to me and drink. And then he says, and if you believe in him, he said, as the scripture said, that out of your heart, the King James says out of your belly, but it's talking about your innermost being, out of that place, something will flow. And what's going to flow is life. Rivers. Oh, I love the way, Jesus, man, I love the way, that's the kind of stuff I'm thinking about when I say, man, don't you just love the Lord? I love the way he says things. He didn't say there was a spring, a creek. He said rivers of living water. I mean, just life, just moving through. See, when I think of rivers, I think about water that's on the move, that's so powerful that if you get in it, it's going to sweep you away. You only had to cross the Mississippi River one time, going west from here, and you will understand the magnitude of a river. I mean, a real river. Then in some areas of the world, the rivers are just, they're rushing. I mean, but don't be fooled by the Mississippi. You might not see the rushing water, but the currents in that thing are so strong. And people get swept away. And so a river is sometimes it's deceptive. It may look calm on top, but underneath there's a lot of power. And he says that out of you, out of your heart, there's going to be a flow. A flow. And that flow brings life. Okay? And then he says, and he spoke this. Concerning the spirit. And then he said, who was not yet given, meaning he wasn't given without restraint to men yet. We see the manifestation of the spirit of God, but then there was another level. Jesus said that when I go to be glorified, I'm going to send him and he'll be given to men. And then there's this thing that we experience with the Holy Spirit. Now, was that John 7? Yes. Okay. And in verse 15, again, I don't know why I didn't write down chapters. I got through the verse and got excited. Can I tell you I was excited. I didn't even write down the chapter. It's in there. It's in there, though. But he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Let me stop right there. It's from this text that I took my title, his abiding presence. Jesus said, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. So they understood clearly that Jesus was their helper. But Jesus said, but I got something else coming. I got something else on the way. Another helper. And then look what he said. That, what? What's the next word? For he. That's what I want you to get, that pronoun. He. The person of the Holy Spirit. Not it, but he. And listen, one of the things I'm praying the Holy Spirit will do this morning is for some of you, take the spooky out of Holy Spirit. I think that is a trick from the enemy, that from his world, you know, we got all these ghosts and demons and goblins and all these creatures that move in the night. So now when you say Holy Spirit, people, wait, what are you talking about? And we have a little apprehension, but there's nothing spooky about him. There's nothing spooky. And I want to apologize now for every person, especially ministers of the gospel, that have presented the Holy Spirit as some kind of spooky thing that's got a overtake you and make you lose full control of your faculties and have you looking absolutely crazy. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes his presence becomes so overwhelming, what you do in response to him might look a little crazy to people, but you got to understand his heart. He's not trying to make you look foolish. We're going to talk about what his intent is in a moment, but the Holy Spirit, he. And then the scripture says in verse 17 that he's the spirit of truth. Oh, my goodness. See, wait a minute. Did somebody just move the clock? I just stood up. And as soon as I say a spirit of truth, I see a lie manifesting. But we have to operate in truth. He is the spirit of truth. And can I tell you, it's not that he's not comfortable. He won't tolerate lying, deception, sneaking, double tongue, creeping, sleight of hand, all that kind of attitude, slick. Once when you start operating that kind of a spirit, the Holy Spirit just backs away. So you know something, I'm gonna let you have this one, dog. I'm sorry, that's all. Because he's a spirit of truth. And here's what I love. I love this about him. It says, whom the world cannot receive. Because the world neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's Jesus speaking. So listen to what he says about the Holy Spirit. And I can testify to this from my own experience. It says, Jesus said, you know him. People go, well, you know, I don't know if I really understand the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, but you know him, for he dwells with you. And he will be in you. Now, let me just talk about that for a minute. He dwells with you. You can't come to God unless the Spirit of God draws you. And here's how you start to learn, if you haven't known already, that you know him. It's because the more you get to know about him, the more you start to say, that sounds familiar. In fact, I remember one time, I was getting ready to go to work and cuss this person out. And my mind just told me, see that voice that you said, well, my mind just took, you'd recognize, say, wow, Holy Spirit, that was you. That was you talking to me and giving me some boundaries, telling me how to stay in the character of God, how to exercise a righteous, you know, disposition. Wow. I was getting ready to go buy this item and I was going to this store and then something just told me, you should go over here and look. You get over there and find that the item that you were looking for was there and it was better quality for a comparable price. Or it may have been a little bit more, but something in you, here we go again, say, but I think I want to get this one. And then you don't know how and why, but it just all started to work out. The deal came together. You know, finances worked. The timing of it worked. Listen, and then the more you experience it, you go, I know that voice. I know him. See, it's the enemy in our flesh, really, that wants us to think that he's hidden from us. But the Bible says, and it's not a mistake, but Jesus clearly says, it's the world that can't receive him. You know him. You know him. Because he's with you. Can I tell you, you would not be sitting in this place today if the Holy Spirit was not with you. In fact, that's a good place to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're here today, right now. You're here right now. You're listening online right now because the Holy Spirit is with you. That's that voice that told you to stop doing what you're doing. Sit down and hear the word of God. Or get up and come to the house of God. He's with you. He's the Spirit of truth, and he leads us into all truth. So I wasn't prepared for this message. This is just a couple of weeks ago. I was just spending some time with the Lord, and that sounds kind of spooky, didn't step on it, kind of spiritual. I was spending time with the Lord. You know, for those of you that regularly spend time with the Lord, that's not a strange thing. For those of you that's a new walk for you, you're thinking, see, you've seen so many movies. You're like, what did Pastor Greg do? Did he just walk out on his deck and step into a cloud and disappear for a period of time, spending time with the Lord? You know, did he go in his closet and slide through a wormhole in time and then end up at a place? I mean, how did he do that? But so I don't mean to sound super spiritual. I was just in prayer. And I'll be honest with you. I want to be very honest because he's the Spirit of truth. And if I don't come correct today, then I could hinder what he wants to do. So here's my truth. I was spending time with the Lord that day. But the truth be told, I need to spend more time. It's never enough. The more I pray, the more I know I need to pray. And I look forward to the day or to the space in my journey that I'm with him and there's no more distraction. I thank God for bringing me to a place that I'm not one of those people that says, I want to go to heaven, but what are we going to be doing? Listen, I'm not going to be bored being with Jesus. I'm not going to be bored being with Jesus because that's something you have to develop on this side of eternity, that relationship. Just like I'm not bored being with my wife, we have relationship. We share intimacy. So I can be with her even if we're not talking. We could be in the same space. I just want to be where she is. All the more with God. But until that time, I have to deal with, you know, this human factor, my humanity, that is filled with distraction, that's filled with all kind of preoccupancies or other things vying for, you know, a place of priority in my mind and my heart. And it challenges me from being able to follow my real passion, my real desire. And, you know, I used to be one of the people that said, well, you know I pray more than so-and-so. You know, I know, but they're not my standard. You know, they're not my standard. And I now I'm at a place that I don't feel, boy, this is not the way I wanted to go with this word, but I want to be honest with what I feel led to say. But I don't feel beat down about that anymore. I'm convicted because I want to please the Lord, but I don't feel beat down because I've come to enjoy or love the pull. I don't ever want the Lord to stop pulling me closer. Even if I spent 2 hours every morning in prayer, I would want the Lord, I don't want the Lord to say, that's enough, you can go. Ooh, I done had enough of you today. No, I would want the Spirit of the Lord to still draw me and make me go, oh man, I'm not praying enough. Do you hear my heart? And I think that's someplace we have to grow to. And I'm yet growing in that area. But I was spending some time with the Lord. I was in prayer. And the Lord said three things to me. And that's the basis for this message today. The first one was, lest we forget. And I'm telling you, that thing cut me so deep, lest we forget. How do I explain it? It's like, can you imagine, because the word doesn't tell us, but can you imagine how Peter must have felt when Jesus told him that before the cock or the rooster crows three times, you know, or before it crows, you would deny me three times. And, you know, if you watch, you know, some of the movies, like Mel Gibson's movie, The Crucifix, some of those, it took some liberty because it's not in the word. But I don't think it's an unfair jump or leap that when Peter did deny him that third time, he looked up and saw Jesus looking at him. And felt like he could just crawl under a rock. The Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus caught his eye at that time, but I believe he probably would have. Out of all the folk in the crowd, you know, have you ever been there? You've been in a crowd, you know, the Lord just singled you out. It's like, it could be all these people. Some of you feel that way right now. You're in this building, you're online, I'm talking, and you know I'm talking to many people, but in your heart, you feel like, ooh, the Holy Ghost got his finger on me right now. But that's good. That's just the Lord. That's his way of letting you know, I see you, and I've located you. Okay? But that's how I felt, lest we forget. And you'll understand it more when you hear this second word he gave me. He said, how do you graduate from the Holy Spirit? That I had to repent. How did you graduate from the Holy Spirit? How do you grow in the Lord to get to a place that you don't really need him like that anymore? That you don't really depend on him for everything. How do you get there? What kind of degree is that? Spiritually, I mean, what is that? What did you ascend to where you graduated from the same spirit that saved you? The same spirit that cleaned up your wicked mind and all them thoughts that used to consume you. Got you thinking about different stuff now. How do you get past him and say, appreciate that. You know, I'm going on to some higher thing. What higher thing? How do you graduate from the Holy Spirit? Lest we forget. Lest we forget. And then the third thing, he said, don't you understand that when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying mysteries. You're praying mysteries. You don't understand it. It's a God language. You're talking directly to me. The Holy Spirit is praying through you. You're praying mysteries. You're praying the stuff that you can't even see. You're dealing with that unseen force that's manipulating everything that you do see. You're dealing with the stuff that's causing the things to happen that make you feel confused. You see, when we pray about feeling confused, we're dealing with our reaction, our response. When we pray about the stuff that's causing confusion, we're looking at the fruit on the tree. But when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we are dealing with the force behind. We're praying mysteries. And not just on the warfare side, but what about that unknown part of God's will for your life? The part of your life that hasn't manifested yet, that still is still working, it's still coming together with some resistance. But when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the heart of God. It's like getting God's heart and extracting it and exchanging it for yours. Letting this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Getting the desire of God to become your desire. You're praying mysteries. How do you graduate from that? Do you all of a sudden see now? You know, it's not a mystery anymore. Everything is known to you. You can just pray in your understanding because you know everything. How do you graduate from praying the mysteries? Lest we forget. Is this reaching anybody else other than me? I'm just about to wave a hand. Is this your address? Let me tell you, that day, it was a painful day, yet it was a liberating day. And I had no idea I would be sharing this in a message. This is just what God was dealing with me about. But when I got the call last night, the other friend's so sweet, and I told her what my previous day had been like, she said, "Oh, Greg, let me pray with you." And so she prayed, and as she was praying, the Lord reminded me of what he said. And I said, it's not a mystery. I know what I'm supposed to talk about today. I'm not quite sure how it's going to work out, because I got way more stuff than I'm going to cover. I'm not going to cover all this, you know, because of that lying clock. But I know what the Lord, this is what he wants me to address. So I just want to put you in remembrance of some things. I just want to exhort you today. Lest we forget. Lest we graduate beyond the Holy Spirit. Lest we get so arrogant and prideful as to think that we know all and there's no mysteries for us to tap. As I said, he, the Holy Spirit, is not an it. You know, he's a person. And why do I say person? Not a person like you and I. He's not in the flesh. But what defines a person largely has to do with personality. So let me tell you a little bit about the personality, distinctive characteristics of personality of the Holy Spirit. One is knowledge. 1 Corinthians 2, 10, 11 says, God has revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of, y'all missed it. Try it again. No one knows the things of God except the spirit of, there you go. So it's the knowledge. He knows. And here's another characteristic of his personality. He has a will. The Holy Spirit has a will. Yes, the Father has a will. Jesus, the Son, has a will. And the Holy Spirit has a will. 1 Corinthians 2, 11, 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. And in fact, to put it in the context, I'm going to back up to verse 4. He says, there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit has a will, and he distributes gifts in the body for the edifying of the body as he wills. And then another characteristic of the Holy Spirit personality is that He has feelings. He experienced emotions. Romans 15:30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has love. He has the emotion of love. He feels the love in him toward us. He loves what the Father loves. He loves what Jesus loves. And I submit to you that there's no distinction in the degree of that love. See, we sing about the love of the Father. Oh, how he loves me, you know. And we talk about the love of Jesus that went to the cross for us. But listen, the Holy Spirit that is here on earth dealing with us right now loves you the same way. He performs acts that only a person could perform. I'm not going to give you scriptures for all of these, but just a couple. But one thing he does, he searches. Yeah, the Holy Spirit searches. In fact, he's searching right now. As the word is going forth, one of the things he does, he searches. He's going through the aisles. He's going down these rows. He's going into you, into your person, into your space, into your existence, and searching for a place for the word to attach. And he also searches out the stuff that's in us that's not like God. That's where the conviction comes from. Because he searches, okay? And guess what else he does? He speaks. Yes, he speaks. Revelation 2:7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the says to the churches. He speaks. He cries. He prays. He testifies. He teaches. Listen, he leads us. He leads Christians. Acts 16:6-7 says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. See, we're not talking about Pastor Walker said don't do this. You know, Elder Robert Boyd said don't do this. You know, it wasn't Elder Benson that said don't do this. You know, because listen, that's why I love Pastor. We don't have a lot of rules. But don't think that there's not a lot of restrictions. See, what he's counting on is that he would teach you enough of the word that he won't have to tell you to don't do this crazy thing. That the Holy Spirit can't forbid you. Have you ever felt the stop of the Holy Ghost? Listen. When you feel the Holy Ghost say stop, you need to stop. Because if you keep going, what's there to entertain and say? This ain't what you want. This ain't what you want. If I had time, I would go to that scripture about that brother who was riding on that animal. And the animal stopped, and the angel of the Lord was standing with that sword. He talking about go, go, go. The animal, No, wasn't moving a step further. Because it's like. But the Holy Spirit, he's such a gentleman that even when he forbids us to do a thing or to go a place, if you press, he'll let you go. But can I tell you, every time you do that, you go past him it makes it that much harder for you to hear his voice the next time. Because we build up a callus, if you will, from that rebellion, from that disobedience on our heart. And it's not that he's not speaking, but we can't discern his leading. We can't discern his voice. Very quickly, he is a spirit. You know, he's the spirit of God. Yes, he is a person, he has a personality, but he's also God. I said he's also God. Some distinctive attributes that he has that only God can have is that he's eternal. He's omnipresent. Look at Psalms 139, 7 through 10. Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" Let's go through verse 9. Verse 8. "If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." Everywhere you go. Now see, when you're young and foolish, and I'm talking about young, I'm not talking about age, I'm talking about young in the Lord. You're young and foolish, you figure, well, if the Lord with me everywhere I go, then I can go. That's not license or permission for you to go places that he already forbade you, or to get involved in activity that he's forbidden you to do. But just because you press past his stop and go do it doesn't mean that you won't sense his regret, sense his hurt, sense his rejection. Then you become convicted. But there's a place, if you press past it long enough, that you won't even feel that. You have to feel no conviction. You can just do what you want to when you want to, and you're okay. And again, that's not a sign from God to say, see, God understands me. He knows. Yes, he does understand you more than you understand you. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. Okay? Now, why does this matter to us? I only have a few minutes, so I'm gonna jump to I want to do a little reading. I want to read from the New King James. Then I'm gonna read the same passage from the Message, because I think I need us to understand this. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. And he who prophesies edifies. So I got a question for you. Does a church need to be edified? Do you need to be edified? See, somehow in the body of Christ, we've taken these to be one statement excludes the other. That's not what Paul is saying here. We need both. You need to be edified, and the church needs to be edified. So we need to speak with tongues so we're edified, but we also need to prophesy so that the church is edified. In fact, I'm going to make a statement, and if you listen, I'm sure you would probably agree that you've heard Pastor Walker say this more than once. I want every one of you to come and receive the word of God with an open heart. Now, when I say that, do we want you to receive the word of God? Yeah, it's not a trick. Watch this. I want every one of you to come and receive the word of God with an open heart. But more than that, I want every one of you to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So do we want you to be doers of the word? But do we want you to come and hear the word with an open heart? See, one doesn't exclude the other. In fact, we understand that you can't be an effective doer of the word if you don't receive it with an open heart where the word can transform you. That's where you get the power to do. But somehow, some of us hear that and we go, see, I don't need to put so much emphasis on hearing the word of God and sitting down under the word. I need to go be a doer. Go do what? You're not tapping mysteries. So now what you gonna do? The little you know? So when that runs out, now what you gonna do? Are we gonna do it again? And then we do it again. We do it again. And some people think that that is faithfulness. Y'all, we've got this thing twisted. And I just want to exhort us and encourage us to understand what Paul is saying here. Let me keep reading in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. But he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Verse 6, but now, brethren, I come to you speaking with tongues. Verse 6, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching, even things without life, whether flute or harp? When they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped for play or played? If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For if you will be speaking into the air, for you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with understanding. This is what Paul's saying. I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed or the unsaved, how would they say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now, to put this in context, Paul is setting order in the church. There's some stuff that was out of order, okay? So when he's talking about, I would rather you prophesy, he's talking about, Paul is an apostle. He says, when I come, I would rather speak 5 words that you understand than to give you 10,000 words in tongues. Well, if I'm standing here on the microphone and you all listening and I just start talking to you in tongues, your understanding is going to be unfruitful. So is mine. See, he's speaking from the position that where he stands. And he's bringing order to the church, so he's talking primarily even to leaders. So you don't stand before the people and try to communicate a word of encouragement or a word of rebuke or teaching or blessing them, anything, and you just do it in tongues, unless you have someone that has the gift of interpretation. But he's not saying don't pray with the Spirit. Yeah, I feel your hesitancy. That's why the Lord had to deal with me first by myself. So it don't matter what you think now. Because I know what I'm saying. What you got to do is deal with it. And I pray to the Holy Spirit that you know his voice, that you listen to him. Paul is not telling the church to stop praying in the Spirit. He's giving order for how that's to be done. And he said, listen, I pray in tongues more than you all. He said, what is it then? I pray with the Spirit and I pray with my understanding. He said, in fact, I'll sing in the Spirit and I'll sing with my understanding. I want to read that same passage. I know it was a little lengthy. That's why I started early. In the message, go to chapter 14. Are we there? All right. And I want you to just listen. Follow along with it, but listen to how it's said in the message, because I think it really puts it in the language that many of us speak in, so it's a little more palatable, if you will. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Give yourself to the gifts God gives you. Most of all, try to proclaim his truth. If you praise him in a private language of tongues, God understands you, but no one else does. For you are sharing intimacies just between you and him. But when you proclaim his truth in everyday speech, you're letting others in on the truth so that they can grow and be strong and experience his presence with you. The one who prays using a private prayer language certainly gets a lot out of it. But proclaiming God's truth to the church in its common language brings the whole church into growth and strength. I want all of you to develop intimacies with God in prayer. But please don't stop with that. Go on to proclaim his clear truth to others. It's more important that everyone have access to the knowledge and love of God in a language everyone understands than that you go off and cultivate God's presence in a mysterious prayer language, unless, of course, there is someone who can interpret what you are saying for the benefit of all. Think, friends, if I come to you and all I do is pray privately to God in a way only he can understand, what are you going to get out of that? If I don't address you plainly with some insight or truth to, or proclamation or teaching, what help am I to you? If musical instruments, flutes, say, or harps, aren't played so that each note is distinct and in tune, how will anyone be able to catch up the melody and enjoy the music? If the trumpet call can't be distinguished, will anyone show up for the battle? So if you speak in a way no one can understand, what's the point of opening your mouth? There are many languages in the world, and they all mean something to someone. But if I don't understand the language, it's not doing me much good. It's no different with you. Since you're so eager to participate in what God is doing, why don't you concentrate on doing what helps everyone in the church? So when you pray in your private prayer language, So when you pray in your private prayer language, don't hoard the experience for yourself. Pray for the insight and ability to bring others into that intimacy. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my mind lies fallow, and all that intelligence is wasted. So what's the solution? The answer is simple enough. What does it say? Do both. I should be spiritually free and expressive as I pray, but I should also be thoughtful and mindful as I pray. I should sing with my spirit and sing with my mind. If you give a blessing using a private prayer language, which no one else understands, How can some outsider who has just shown up, has no idea what's going on, know when to say amen? Your blessing might be beautiful, but you have very effectively cut that person out of it. I want us to read this together. Read. I'm grateful to God for the gift of praying in tongues that he gives us for praising him, which leads to wonderful intimacies we enjoy with him. Let's read it again. I am grateful that any of you are right. It says, but when I'm in the church, assembled for worship, I'd rather say five words that everyone can understand and learn from than to say 10,000 that sounds to others like gibberish. Are you hearing what he's saying? I'm grateful to God. Lest we forget. I'm grateful to God for the gift of praying in tongues that he gives us for praising him, which leads to wonderful intimacies we enjoy with him. How do we graduate from that? How do we move past that beautiful gift where we share intimacies with God? I like the example, and I'm going to close with this. I like the example. Janet, Jimmy, would y'all come help me? In fact, if the band could come. I like the example he gave. He said, if a trumpet makes a certain sound, Jim, it's okay if you walk right this way because I need you on there so quick. Run like you're still 25. Greg and Athena, y'all might as well come on too if I can get the praise team to come. I know they like, what are you doing? Yes, come on. But I just think this is a beautiful visual where he's talking. So he says that if a trumpet makes a uncertain sound, how will anybody know to gather? And he compares that to, that's what it means to publicly just, you're the only one talking. It's not if everybody's speaking. But you're the only one talking and you're speaking in tongues. How will anybody know what to do? So here's what we mean by that. Give me that D flat. D flat, C sharp. Okay, I want you to give me that. Right there. I want you to ad lib, Jim. Okay, everybody sing. Do y'all not know the song? See? Now, she's making sound. And it's in rhythm. And it's sounding kind of beautiful, if I can say that. And Jim is ad libbing. He's sliding up and down the scale, but it's not distinct enough. That's like tongues without an interpretation. Keep it going right there. Now, this could edify Jan. This could edify Jim. Just playing. Just stay with it. Stay with it. Herb is giving me some stick, giving me the tempo, because they have a sense of what's going on. But nobody else does. So let's see if we can interpret that a little bit. Can we interpret that a little bit? Add me some bass to that. Keep on coming to the. Don't say that. Come on. That sounds a little more distinct. Is anybody getting what this is yet? A couple of people, if you got it, just stand up. I'm not going to make you come up here. Just stand up. All right. Let's continue. Let's interpret. Let me get the singers to join us. Here we go from the top. 3, 4. words.
Praise the Lord, God.
And the lyrics are, Praise the Lord by Carmen. Come, let's sing that again. Come on, everybody.
Come on, everybody.
Can you join them?
It's time to stop.
See, now it's distinct. We can all be edified. Come on and praise Him.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, everybody.
Everybody.
Let's praise,
praise
Him.
Lord.
Lift your voice and sing.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Everybody. Praise the Lord.
Now, what I wanted you to see is that if the trumpet or the piano is making an uncertain sound, nobody can be edified. But once it becomes certain, once it's interpreted, now everybody can join in. That, take that and apply that to your prayer language. Paul said, I would sing in the spirit and sing with the understanding. We would just sing with the understanding. Go ahead and play. Let's sing in the spirit. Sing mystery to God. Come on, sing with your understanding. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, lift up your voice.
Everybody. Praise the Lord.
Everybody sing.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody. Praise the Lord. Come on, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you today, lest we forget. How do you graduate from the Holy Spirit? There are mysteries that we tap when we pray with the Spirit and when we sing with the Spirit. Everything being done in decency and order. But listen, your private prayer language with God, this thing's gotten very personal. These are the last, we used to say the last days, but based on the message Pastor preached a few weeks ago, it's the last hours. We don't need to neglect the things of the Spirit. In the book of Jude, it says, praying in the Holy Spirit, building up your most holy faith. Listen. When you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself and you build up your faith. That's going to be so critical in these times of deception and all that's going on in the land. We don't want to get swept away, but we want to stand for God. We want to hold on to that which He's given us. We want to be found in that place of intimacy with Him. We have to cultivate that. I think some of us have gotten a little lazy, a little slack. And we need to make a new commitment to stir up the gift that's in you. Hallelujah.